Well, good morning. Anyone here, just off the get-go, anyone struggle with pride? I hear a couple of chuckles. I saw a couple of nudges, maybe. You know, I think we all probably deal a little bit with pride today. So we'll try not to step on our toes too much today, just looking at this topic as we get into God's Word and are learning from the story of Joseph and looking at this issue of pride that raises itself in our lives. Before we get into the Word today, I just want to say welcome to those that are guests that are visiting with us for the first time. We're glad that you have taken the step to join us here in person, and thank you for coming and trusting us in this way. We look forward to hopefully walking with you as we all continue to grow in our relationship with the Lord. If you could fill out that card right down on the bottom of your chair there, if you could fill out that card and bring that to the Guest Connect area right through those doors after service, we'd love to just get to know you a little bit more, say hi to you, give you a little gift, but just want to welcome you to church today. Also, in form of announcement, we didn't say this yet, but over the last several weeks, maybe a month and a half, we have hired on some administrative assistant people. We've been looking for that for a little while, and so Caitlin May is helping us out part-time, and also Felicia Reddit, who's traveling today, but anyway, we have a couple of part-time ladies that are helping us out in that need. So thanks for praying with us as we've been looking for who God is going to use to fill that role. But welcome today. You know, how many of you know God has a plan for your life? God has a plan for your life. That does it always feel like God knows what he's doing? If you were to trust your feelings, there are probably moments in your journey that you say, God, what are you doing right now in the midst of this situation that I'm struggling with? You know, maybe you found yourself in a pit, you know, figuratively, not like Joseph really in a literal pit, but maybe you found yourself in some kind of a situation or season in your life that you're like, God, what are you doing? Maybe you have felt forgotten. I think we've all probably felt that way. If we let our emotions kind of reign for a little while, we might feel forgotten in certain relationships or certain moments in our journey. And maybe you've even been falsely accused and you're like, God, what are you doing right now in my life? There's all sorts of reasons why we can feel that way from time to time in our journey when we sit back and say, God, what is going on? But we need to know beyond a shadow of a doubt that God has a plan for our lives. And I'm here to remind you today that that is so true, that God has a plan for you today. He knows exactly what he's doing in this season that you're walking into right now. He is with you in ways that you can't even imagine. You might not even understand, but he is with you in this season of your journey. There's an old story from 1975. Was anyone alive in 1975? I wasn't quite there yet. Couple more years, you know, I would make my arrival. But 1975, there's a legendary pianist named Keith Jarrett. I don't know if you know of Keith Jarrett, but he was a pianist, a very successful piano player, and he was performing live on January 24th at Cologne Opera House. And the concert recording was released in the fall of 1975 with rave reviews. It became the best-selling jazz solo album of all time, and also the all-time best-selling piano album. Okay, so, you know, it was quite a moment here during this live performance. When he showed up to this opera house, he requested, I don't know pianos very well, but it's a Bösendorfer 290 Imperial Concert Grand Piano. That's what he requested for that performance. I looked up just a Bösendorfer piano today. A new one will set you back about $300,000. So if you're interested, you can go buy one. I don't know where, but I found one on Google. So I'm sure it's out there somewhere. You could pay $300,000 for your next piano. But due to confusion, the Opera House staff provided a smaller baby grand piano that was used, Bösendorfer, right? Same brand, but it was used in rehearsals. In fact, some of the keys didn't even work, and the others were out of tune, right? It's never good when you have an out of tune piano. And so here he was, he shows up, and this is the piano that they bring out and say, this is the only Bösendorfer we have that you could use. So instead of rejecting the piano, he went on with the concert. And that's where, you know, if you know jazz at all, you know, sometimes the notes, if they don't match 100%, it's okay, right? And anyway, it was a piece that he recorded in 1975 and was critically acclaimed. One critic remarked, Mr. Jarrett turned the banal and familiar into something gorgeous and mysterious. Now, I don't know where he is in his faith. I'm not equating him to God. But what I am saying is that's what God does to every one of us, doesn't it? Doesn't he? God loves to do that with people. He takes pleasure in transforming the ordinary and into something that's extraordinary. We have faith that he'll do the same in our lives today. If you're feeling broken, I want you to trust in God to use you to bring him glory in that situation. So again, we're talking about the story of Joseph, and we're looking and analyzing today. We're going to focus in on that topic of pride. So real quick, I looked. Here's Google information for you. I know you love to hear Google, you know, quoted from the pulpit. But when I said, you know, do I have a problem with pride? Here's what Google AI told me, right? Here's how you know if you have a problem with pride. You may have a pride problem if you frequently need attention, are unwilling to admit mistakes or apologize, often criticize or judge others, struggle with receiving feedback, or feel a constant need to stand out and be superior to others, right? That could probably, one of those areas could probably apply to most of our lives here today. And so it's something that we all struggle with and something we all deal with. So today we're going to look at Genesis chapter 40 and this part of the story of Joseph and really look at this topic of pride for the next few minutes together. We overcome first pride by using our gifts to exalt God, not ourselves. God's a giver of good gifts. Amen. God gives us gifts, and we need to use those gifts to bring glory and honor to God, not glory and honor to ourselves. Let's read a couple of verses here, starting in verse 1. It says, sometime later, Pharaoh's chief cupbearer and chief baker offended their royal master. Pharaoh became angry with these two officials, and he put them in prison where Joseph was in the place of the captain of the guard. So here, Pharaoh got offended by these two people, and he said, be gone with you, right? You're going to jail. Wouldn't it be nice if someone offended you and you could just send them to jail? Would anyone like that kind of power in your life, right? That's the power that Pharaoh had right now in his life in this story. So at the time, the chief cupbearer, the chief baker, were of positions that were around Pharaoh in his day-to-day life. The king trusted his life to the cupbearer because it was his job to taste the food and taste the drink and make sure it didn't have poison in it, right, before the king ate it. Anyone want to sign up for that job, right? You know, maybe you're President Trump's, you know, food taste tester, and you have to eat or drink all his food before he eats it to make sure it's not poisoned. I don't know if any of us would sign up for that type of a role, but that's what the chief cupbearer did. And then the chief baker, you know, made a lot of the food for the Pharaoh. And as it turns out, they end up in the same position as Joseph. Do you think that's a coincidence? I don't think it is. I think God had his hand in this entire story and in every situation of it, because I believe that God is the God of the details. God is the God of the details. He's not just the God that, you know, orchestrates things and just says, go and do the best you can, people. I think God is the God of details, and God is working in your life in ways that you never could imagine, ways you could never think, and the way you could never plan your life to come out. And I'm sure Joseph would have preferred a different series of steps in his life to become common to fulfill the dreams that God had placed in him as a young man. But there he was, you know, taking steps, and there he was in this position, and now he's hanging out with a cupbearer and the baker. Let's keep reading. They remained in prison for quite some time, and the captain of the guard assigned them to Joseph, who looked after them. While they were in prison, Pharaoh's cupbearer and baker each had a dream one night, and each dream had its own meaning. When Joseph saw them the next morning, he noticed that they both looked upset. "Why do you look so worried today?" he asked them, and they replied, "We both had dreams last night, but no one can tell us what they mean." So Joseph replied, "Forget your dreams, they're worthless. I had a dream once, and look at me, I'm in prison with you bums," right? I don't think that's the way it reads. That's not what God's word tells us. You know, but maybe, you know, that would be a response from us in that moment, right? But verse 8, it says, "Interpreting dreams is God's business," Joseph replied. "Go ahead and tell me your dreams," right? He wasn't saying, "I'm going to interpret these dreams." He's saying, "God's going to give the interpretation to these dreams." And he was pointing the attention to Almighty God in the midst of this moment. Joseph continued to believe that God-given dreams held significance. God-given dreams hold significance, and they held significance then, and they hold significance now. He remained convinced that God-given dreams and works, and God works to bring them to life regardless of the obstacles that life throws at us. You know, we can look at that and we can say, "God, my dreams are not coming to fruition here. Look at all the problems that I'm facing." But that's not what we see. Joseph never lost his faith in God, even in prison. And that's what we need to do in tough times. When life feels uncertain, we need to stay confident that God is in control. God is in control in your world. God is in control in our world. He might not do things the way we want him to do them, but God is in control today. And I want to declare that to you. In case you're wondering, God is still in control in 2025. He's still on the throne, and he's still working in ways that we will never understand, just like he did in Joseph's life. Trust that God has a plan, and he's working all these things out for good and for his glory. Remember that God still cares, and God still cares about you. God cares about you today. God cares about you. He knows the burdens you're carrying. He knows the difficulties you're facing. He knows the problems that you're in. And God cares for you, and he loves you so much that he says, "You don't have to carry that weight on your own. In fact, I'm going to die on the cross for the forgiveness of your sins. And then when you accept me as your Lord and Savior, I'm going to take up residence inside of your life. You don't have to carry this weight. You don't have to carry this burden. You don't have to walk this path on your own. God is with you." Hold on to your faith in God. If you don't, you risk becoming bitter and angry. Have you ever met a bitter, angry Christian? No one wants to say yes, but we have. Man, I don't understand grumpy Christians. Right? We should be overflowing with joy. We should be overflowing with the peace of God. We should be overflowing with the love of God. Right? All the fruit of the Spirit should be supernaturally growing in our lives. But sometimes we come across some grumpy Christians. And man, that's terrible when we find those folks in our world. If you don't hold faith in God, you risk becoming angry and bitter. Look at Joseph in prison. What is Joseph doing while he's in prison? He's serving those that are in prison with him. He's not saying, "I'm better than you. You know, God's got a plan for my life." He didn't do any of those kinds of things. What we see evident in his life is that he's there to serve. And they both show up one day a little tired. The chief baker and the chief cupbearer, they show up a little overwhelmed with life. And what does Joseph do? "Oh, they must be having a bad day. You know what? I'm going to leave them alone and let them fester and stew in their own problems, because they probably made those problems for themselves anyway." Right? So, you know, obviously they're not good people to be around. The Pharaoh even sent them down here to jail, right? So they must be pretty miserable to be around, right? No, that's not what Joseph's heart was. Joseph was like, hey, what's going on in your life? Why are you so disheveled right now in the situation that you're facing? He had compassion on those that were around him. In the midst of the suffering that he was in, he looked beyond his own suffering and he looked into other people's lives and he said, let me help you right now with what you are facing. How can I serve you? How can I help you right now in your life? Man, that's a difficult place to be. Man, that's maturity right there in his relationship with God. Some of us are so absorbed with our own problems that we barely see people around us, let alone see people that are walking in and having a bad day, right? And we don't go out of our way to help them or serve them, you know, like we see Joseph did here in this moment. You know, what a powerful thing is happening here. Joseph looked, he was serving his fellow prisoners. He shows concern for them when they're down. His compassion stems from a trust in God, and your faith should do the same for you. Skipping down some verses, you know, in the next section of verses, we're not going to read them today, but from 9 through 19, we see Joseph, he interpreted the dreams for the cupbearer and the baker. What were their dreams? The cupbearer's dream was that meant that he'll be restored to his position in 3 days. Probably a good report, right, from Joseph. And then the baker's like, well, that was a good report. Why don't you tell me what my dream meant? And, Joseph interpreted his dream and said, 3 days from now, you're going to be dead, right? You know, so two extremes, you know, on these interpretations of these dreams. But then skipping down to verse 20, Pharaoh's birthday came 3 days later, and he prepared a banquet for all his officials and his staff. He summoned in the chief baker, a cupbearer and chief baker to join the other officials. He then restored the chief cupbearer to his former position so that he could again hand Pharaoh his cup. But Pharaoh impaled the chief baker just as Joseph had predicted when he interpreted his dream. The dreams came to fruition. The interpretation of the dreams came to fruition. God gave Joseph an amazing gift, and he gives us countless gifts. You are so blessed by God. You are so blessed by God. He gives us so many gifts. He's given us the gift of salvation, and that should blow us away. Every time we start thinking about just the gift of salvation, we should be dancing and rejoicing and praising God, you know, over what he has done for us. I'm not talking about maybe physically, but at least in our spirit, we should be so excited every time we think about the goodness of God and how he came and died on the cross and took the punishment we deserve so we don't have to spend eternity in hell. We can spend eternity in the presence of Almighty God, worshiping him for all of eternity. And that's something we can rejoice God for. But it doesn't stop there, right? He continues to give us so many good gifts in our lives. He blesses us in so many ways, in ways that we could never imagine. He continues to bring blessings on us. And in the New Testament, we read about all sorts of different gifts. Don't laugh at me. You're coming up here next week then. Yeah. Sorry, I got tongue-tied this morning. And then I called someone out. You're not coming up here next week. I'm sorry. Yeah. Don't go there. All right. God gave Joseph an amazing gift. And God gives us so many gifts. In the New Testament, read about some of the gifts. You can read about them. And in Romans 12, I think I have it on the screen. Romans 12, 6 through 8 talks about all sorts of gifts that God gives us. Prophecy, serving, teaching, exhortation, giving, leadership, mercy. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, he gives us another list of gifts. You know, words of wisdom, words of knowledge, faith, gift of healing, miracles, prophecy, distinguishing between spirits, tongues, and interpretation of tongues. In Ephesians chapter Ephesians chapter 4, he gives us the fivefold ministry gifts, the apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher, right? There's so many gifts that he gives us time and time again in our lives. And those are just a couple of lists of gifts. And then he continues to show his favor on us in so many different situations that we face in our lives, and we see answers to prayer in our journey and in our walk with God. We ask God, God bring a healing, and sometimes he supernaturally brings a healing into our lives. God, you know, bring a provision right now. God, help me get this job. God, help me to get whatever it might be. And God gives us so many blessings and so many gifts, and he lives in us and walks with us every day of our lives. These gifts that he has given us should not point people to the great, should point people to the greatness of God Almighty. And that's what we should be pointing people to, how good our God is. Verse 23, Pharaoh's chief cupbearer, however, forgot all about Joseph, never giving him another thought. Joseph said, hey, please just remind Pharaoh about me. Tell Pharaoh about me, you know, so that maybe I can get out of the situation that I'm in. He tried to control that situation a little bit, but God had bigger plans in store. And so we don't understand all the reason why this cupbearer forgot, but he did. He neglected to tell Pharaoh about him. The chief cupbearer didn't keep his promise. Joseph had asked him to be loyal and do me this one favor, right? But the chief cupbearer forgot all about Joseph. We all know how that feels. People that make promises and then forget about them. We feel forgotten by people that God has placed in our life. Have you ever felt like someone has forgotten about you? People will let us down, but God never will. People will let us down, but our God, he will never let us down. People forget, but you can count on God to keep his word. That's why God teaches us to trust him in all things and be gracious to the people around us. Right? That's what the message of God's word is. That we trust him in the midst of all situations in our lives. And you know what? We're to be gracious with those that God has placed around us. How much do you overflow with grace towards people around you? Or when people don't live up to your expectations, do you just send them out to pasture and say, I'm never doing anything with them ever again? You know, we need to be careful with our heart, to guard our heart and show the grace that we need to one another. Because there's not one person in this world that has arrived at perfection yet. I don't care how mature that person is in their relationship with God. They haven't arrived at perfection yet. Guess what, wives? Your husband's not perfect. Guess what, husbands? Your wives aren't perfect except for mine. She's perfect. No? Trying to earn points, but she doesn't even believe that. We need to be gracious with each other. So many times I've seen so many people turn their backs on each other so quickly. In the house of God, in the family of God, that's not what God intends or wants for the body of believers. He wants us to be united and run together. He wants us to be gracious, overflowing with grace and mercy towards each other, not with judgment and condemnation. Man, we celebrate that God is not bringing his judgment on us like we deserve in every moment of our lives, right? Do any of us deserve the grace of God? Not a stinking one of us. I don't care how perfect you think you are. You haven't arrived there yet. You are not living with perfection. And you don't deserve the grace and the mercy of God. And none of us deserve, you know, none of us get what we deserve, thank God, if we've given our heart to Jesus and made him our Lord and our Master. We get grace from our Heavenly Father. And I challenge us, let's be gracious with each other. Joseph's request isn't wrong. He's innocent. Here's the lesson. He presumes that the cupbearer will get him out of the situation he's in, not realizing that God's timing is the only timing that matters. Let me tell you that again. God's timing is the only timing that matters. 2 years of silence. 2 years of being forgotten in prison. But those weren't in vain. God was shaping a man not just to interpret dreams, but to take on the heavy burden of leading a nation. That's what God was doing in the midst of this situation. He was developing a man to be able to lead this nation. What the story teaches us is that God is more concerned with shaping your character than giving you everything that you want. God is more concerned with shaping your character than giving you everything you want. There's times we're like, God, why aren't you giving me everything I want in this story in my life? A life would be a whole lot better if, right? Fill in the blank. You know, let me tell you, God doesn't always give us what we want, but God does develop our character as we continue to trust in Him in every season and every trial and every trouble of our lives. Joseph reminds us that spiritual gifts are not platforms for personal glory, but tools for God's purposes. Pride whispers, use your gifts to be seen. Humility says, use your gifts to serve. Second point, we overcome pride by depending on the Spirit and not our own strength. We must depend on the Holy Spirit in every situation of our lives and not on our own strength. Right? We don't have the strength to be able to do all the things that God wants us to do. It's supernaturally through the Spirit of God that God helps us to do the things that He's calling us to do. 2 years later, Pharaoh has a dream and he's standing by the Nile. 7 fat cows come out of the water and then 7 ugly thin cows emerge and eat the fat ones, right? Quite a dream. Anyone ever had a dream quite like that? Right? And then it goes on, another dream, right? There's the 7 healthy grain bundles of grain and ears of grain, and they're eaten by the 7 skinny, you know, ears of grain. And so all of this, he says, hey, who's the one that can interpret this dream? He gathers all his wise men together, right? All the wisdom in the land, and says, someone tell me what this dream means. It's driving me crazy, right? And so here he is. He's in a place and he says, I don't know what to do here. Then the chief cupbearer remembers Joseph, right? Finally, he remembers, oh yeah, there was that guy back in jail that helped me out. So Joseph is brought right from prison to hear Pharaoh's dream. And Joseph explains that the two dreams are saying the same thing. God is going to bring 7 years of plenty followed by 7 years of famine. So Joseph advises Pharaoh to store up food for 7 years of plenty, so that they will have enough to last for the 7 years of famine that's on the horizon. Chapter 41, verse 34 says this, then Pharaoh should appoint supervisors over the land and let them collect 1/5 of all the crops during the 7 good years. Have them gather and all the food produced in the 7 good years that are just ahead and bring it to Pharaoh, a Pharaoh's storehouse. Store it away and guard it so that there will be food in the cities. That way there may be enough to eat when the 7 years of famine come to the land of Egypt. Otherwise the famine will destroy the land. Imagine the pressure Joseph felt in that moment when he was called before one of the world's most powerful people to interpret a dream. Have you ever been in a place where you have no idea what to say? And you're like, dear Lord, how am I going to handle this? It's in those moments that the Holy Spirit can work through us. And I'm challenging us to understand that the Holy Spirit is at work in our lives in ways that we can never imagine. Backing up to verse 15 and 16, it says, then Pharaoh said to Joseph, I had a dream last night and no one could tell me what it means, but I have heard that you can hear about a dream and you can interpret it. Joseph replied, it's beyond my power to do this, Joseph said, right? But God can tell you what it means and set you at ease. Everything was pointing back to God. He's saying, God can interpret this dream. God can give us wisdom in this moment. And that's one of the workings of the Holy Spirit in our lives, to guide our hearts and give us the words to say. There's situations you're going to face, if you haven't faced them yet, that you have no idea what to say. And here's Joseph in one of those stories. Joseph says here that God provides the answer. He was completely dependent on God to give him an answer in this situation. There's no way that he could do it any other way. It only had to be, God, I need you right now, because there's no way I can do this on my own. It's only through your ability and your wisdom that I can be used to interpret this dream. This reminds us of what Jesus said to his disciples, that the Holy Spirit helps us in those kinds of ways. Listen to Jesus' words recorded in Matthew 10. It says, "Look, I'm sending you out as sheep among wolves. So be as shrewd as snakes and harmless as doves. Be aware, for you will be handed over to the courts and will be flogged with whips in the synagogues. You will stand trial before governors and kings because you are my followers. But this will be your opportunity to tell the truth and other unbelievers about me." Tell the truth and tell the rulers and other unbelievers about me. "When you are arrested, don't worry about how to respond or what to say. God will give you the right words at the right time. For it is not you who will be speaking, but the Spirit of your Father speaking through you." Isn't it beautiful that again, we don't have to do life on our own? That the Holy Spirit is with us every day of our lives. The Holy Spirit's guiding our steps. And we need to understand that we can rely on our Holy Spirit to help us when we're just totally lost in our situations and in our lives. Joseph was completely dependent on the Holy Spirit in that moment. And I challenge us, that's how we should live our lives. Completely dependent on God's Holy Spirit. Don't worry, right, is what Jesus said. It's not easy, but the Holy Spirit will give you the words to say. When we face rough times, we need to rely on the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit lives within believers, so we don't have to face our tough situations alone. Later when giving the wise plan to save Egypt, Joseph speaks with a Spirit-led confidence, not with self-confidence in this moment. Pride relies on human ability. However, humility trusts in divine empowerment. And we must have humility because it's not us, right? We need to trust in our God. We need to follow His plan for our lives, and we need to trust Him in all areas of our lives. Here's the warning. You must avoid letting your success make you prideful. You must make sure that you're not letting any success work in your heart to make you full and overflowing with pride. Pride can be spotted a mile away. I've seen it in a lot of people. A lot of people that God started using and giving them giftings, and God started to put an anointing on their lives, and then, you know, they start thinking there's something, right? I can do it better than anyone else that I see doing fill in the blank, right? You know, it happens sometimes in ministry. You know, we start evaluating. I've seen young pastors that say, I could do better than whatever that pastor might be saying right now. Right, but God's anointed him and used her and used them in the gifts and in the platform that God's given them. We see it in musicians sometimes. Right, man, they don't know anything about worship. If I just was in charge, man, then everything would be so much better. You know, if they let me take control for just a little while. Right, on and on we can go. Man, that person doesn't teach very good at all. Man, if I would just be the teacher of that class, man, that class would grow and grow and grow and grow and grow. There's many different ways we can apply that, but I'm challenging you right now. That don't get prideful, don't get filled and overwhelmed with that pride, but we must keep humility in our lives. Don't let success make you prideful. It's easy to get puffed up thinking that we've accomplished or we're so accomplished in our lives. We might start patting ourselves on the back, feeling proud of whatever we've achieved, but God is where we find our strength. He's the one that gives us the gifts. He's the one that equips us as men and women of God. And we need to make sure that we're not overflowing with pride, but we're living with humility in our lives. The last point really quickly, to overcome pride, we overcome pride by remembering that our position is for God's purpose. Our position that God has placed us in is for God's purpose. Remind your neighbor right now that the position they're in is for God's purpose. What do you mean by the position? That could be the school you're in, right? That could be the workplace you're in. That could be the neighborhood you're living in. That could be the friend system that you have. That could be the family that you have. How many love your family? How many sometimes wish you had a different family? Right? You know, on and on we go, right? You know, just, you know, but we're in that position strategically by God's design. God wants us right where we are. We overcome pride by remembering that our position, maybe your job, maybe your financial situation, on and on, every blessing in our lives, we need to remember that our position is for God's purpose. Let's keep reading verse 37. It says, Joseph's suggestions were well received by Pharaoh and his officials. So Pharaoh asked his officials, can we find anyone else with like this man, so obviously filled with the Spirit of God? Do you see what he highlighted there? That he had the Spirit of God in his life? Then Pharaoh said to Joseph, since God has revealed the meaning of the dreams to you, clearly no one else is as intelligent or wise as you are. You will be in charge of my court, and all my people will take orders from you. Only I, sitting on the throne, will have rank higher than yours. Pharaoh said to Joseph, I hereby put you in charge of the entire land of Egypt. What a change. One conversation made in the whole trajectory of Joseph's life. He went from sitting in prison to standing before the king, the Pharaoh, and Pharaoh now putting him second in charge of the entire land. It's amazing how when we trust in God, how God can use us in amazing ways, but we cannot let that build pride in our lives. We need to let that build humility in our lives, saying, but God, I would still be sitting rotting in jail. If it wasn't for God giving me his giftings, if it wasn't for God giving me his blessing, if it wasn't for God, I'd still be sitting down in that prison, you know, in charge of that little world that I'm in prison. You know, but he showed faithfulness in the midst of this. Pharaoh appoints Joseph as second in command over all of Egypt, giving him his signet ring, fine clothes, a gold chain, and even a new Egyptian name. And then to top it all off, he gives him a wife, right? A daughter of an Egyptian priest, says, here's your bride, Joseph. You need a woman in your life, right? And so here you go. Joseph, now 30 years old, begins to oversee the land during the 7 years of plenty. He stores up massive amounts of grain in preparation for the famine. He has two sons, Manasseh, and he names him Manasseh because God made him forget his hardships in his father's house. And then he had Ephraim. He named that because God was fruitful in the land of suffering. God made him fruitful in the land of suffering. After 7 years, the famine began, but Egypt was well prepared. And people from all over the lands were coming to fight to Joseph to buy grain, and that's because the famine was so widespread. Humility keeps you grounded in seasons of success. It's not always clear what God is doing as he guides our lives, but Joseph didn't always understand, I'm sure, what God was up to in every season of his journey. But every season of his journey brought him to a place where he was now some of the fulfillment of his dreams when he was a teenager. We're going to come to fruition in the next couple of chapters of this passage. He was, think about Joseph's life. He was a favorite in his father's house, his father's favorite son. He was loved and honored by his dad in all of his years in his early life. His brothers resented him, hated him, and sold him into slavery. He went from being a slave to being a prisoner, all because of false accusations that had come against him. And now he's been in jail, you know, in prison, yet somehow he rose to become the ruler of Egypt. What a wild ride, the events of his life that he endured. But it was amazing to see that all the time, in every stage of his journey, God was with him. And I challenge you right now that God's not done with your story yet. God's still working about his perfect plan in your life. I don't care if you're a teenager or if you're 85 years old. God's not done with you yet. I was expecting an 85-year-old to jump up and start dancing right now. Right? You know, God's not done with you yet. He's still bringing about completion to the vision and the dreams that he has placed in you. Maybe 50 or 60 years ago, God's still working about those plans in his perfect order. We can trust in him. Man, I'm sure there were days that Joseph sitting in jail after all those years saying, man, God, where are you? But we don't see any of that in here. You know, he still remained faithful to God. That's the only thing we see recorded in God's word, that it wasn't that he was overwhelmed with the position he was in. He said, my God's faithful and I'm going to keep serving him in whatever way I can. Why? Because this is where God's placed me for one reason or another, and I'm going to keep moving forward and I keep doing whatever God calls me to do with the best attitude I can, because you know what? He's put me in this place and I'm going to make the best of it, because this is where God wants me right now in my life. Can you say the same thing that Joseph said? Can you have that same kind of attitude, that same kind of heart in your life and in your journey? Don't get discouraged about your current season. God is at work in your life. Even if you can't see it, trust him as you take each step on the path that he's leading you down. Just like Joseph, you might face some unfairness along your path. You might even feel like giving up or thinking, God, you've lost control. You might feel like he's left your side along the journey, but recall Joseph's story. Once he reached this point in life, he stayed true to God. There's no suggestion in this passage that he was anything but faithful. Let's stay faithful too. Also keep in mind that God has put you exactly where he wants you to be. You're in a special position, a strategic position to serve God. You're in a place that God wants you to serve him. It may not be a high-ranking leader in a nation, but God wants to use you in the exact place that he has put you. Understand, God wants to use you. Pharaoh exalts Joseph to power, but let's be clear, this promotion was orchestrated by none other than God himself. Not earned by Joseph's ambition. Joseph never forgot his calling to be a vessel of God's wisdom and salvation. Pride turns position into personal gain. Humility sees position as divine assignment. Church, Joseph's story is more than a testimony of breakthrough. It's more than just a testimony of, look how good God is, how he took, you know, a guy in prison and put him in the palace. You know, it's more than just that type of a story. It's a blueprint for the kind of heart that God wants us to have in our lives. God wants a heart for you to have, you to have a heart like Joseph did. In the midst of this story in prison, Joseph remained faithful. In the palace, he remained humble. And at every step, he gave glory to God. It reveals the blueprint of the heart that God desires. And I challenge you today that God wants your heart and you to live a life that's faithful. In your life, don't turn away from the things of God. Don't turn your back on God. Remain faithful to God. Why? Because he's staying faithful to you. He's a faithful God, and we can trust him in all things. Your heart needs to stay faithful unto your King and unto your Lord. You need to have a heart that's humble. Man, pride will destroy your life. Pride will destroy so many things about where you're headed. It will derail possibly even some things in your life. And I'm challenging you today, don't let pride raise its ugly head in your life, but be a person that is humble before our King and before our Lord. And it's something that we need to make sure that we're not living to build our name, we're living to glorify his name. And that's the heart that we need to have. That's the heart of humility, that we're not living to glorify our name. Look how good I am. Look how nice a house I live in. Look at nice cars I drive. Look at all the good things that I'm doing in my world and in my life. I've got these perfect little kids growing up in my life, you know. You're not fooling anyone. We've all had kids. Those that have had kids, you know, understand. They're not perfect little kids all the time, right? Maybe around church they are, you know, but man, we need to stay humble in our lives. And we need to have a heart that gives God glory. Do you have a heart that's celebrating before God in every season of your life? Man, how easy is it when we're in the palace season of our lives to say, wow, God, look what you've done. You brought me here. I'm a leader here in this nation. You know what? I can tell anybody to do what I want them to do, and they're going to do it. Wouldn't that be nice to have that kind of power or authority? You know, you get frustrated with someone, you send them to jail, you know, kind of like Pharaoh did, right? You know, there's all sorts of, you know, things that you're like, man, this life is so good right now. And in those seasons of our lives, it's very easy to say, God, you are so good. But you know what? We need to say, God, you are so good in the seasons of our lives when everything's falling apart. We say, God, I don't know how I'm going to take the next step. God, are you still sure that you're doing what we need to be doing here in this situation? Because I'm struggling here, God. I'm struggling to find the strength to take that next step in my journey and in my life. And you know what? I need that strength from you right now, because it's only in you that I'm able to take that next step in my journey and in my life. And God, please come and help me. And we need to celebrate and sing the goodness of God even in those moments. God, you're so good in the midst of the struggles, in the midst of the problems, in the midst of the sickness, in the midst of the job loss, in the midst of divorce or family issues, in the midst of all these things. God, you're still good, and I'm going to trust you in all things. I'm going to maintain my faithfulness unto you. I'm going to maintain my humility in this situation, and I know that I'm going to worship you with all of my heart because you are such a good God. And man, sometimes it's difficult to walk into church and maybe you feel like you need to put the happy face on, like everything's good. Anyone just feel that pressure in your life that when you come to church, you just have to put that happy face on? We all do, probably. I do. You know? We all feel that pressure sometimes. But I challenge us. Let's keep running after Jesus in every aspect of our lives. Let's be real with each other. We can be real with each other. And I challenge you to be a little bit more vulnerable in your relationships with each other. I think that's where relationships grow, depth. And we need each other, amen? We need each other. God's called you to this church, not just to come in on Sunday mornings and sit back and just consume, just to show a little worship unto God, you know. Throw a couple of dollars in the offering plate. That's not what God's calling you to be as a church. We need to be a family of believers. We need to love each other. We need to grow in relationship with each other. We need each other in this world, guys. I don't want to do church just like normal. God, help us to do church like you desire us to do church. On Wednesday nights, this is way off topic, but that's okay. Wednesday nights, we're walking through the book of Acts as the adult Bible study. And man, looking at how that church loved each other, man, it's way above and beyond how we could ever imagine it here in our American culture. And it's a challenge to us. Come Wednesday night, you're going to hear more about it. You know, just how much that church really loved each other. You know, it's incredible. And man, if we could just get a taste of how that first century church loved each other, man, that would change a whole lot of things about how we did our church and how we did life together. I'm challenging us. Let's go to the next level, right? Let's love each other. Let's dig in relationship with each other. Let's support each other. Let's be real with each other. And man, if you're having a bad day, it's okay to come to the altar and pray. It's amazing to me how many times we walk in these doors and man, we're just blown away by all the garbage and all the junk that we walk through on a daily basis throughout the week, and we're struggling and we're saying, God, I don't know what's going on in my world. And then we sing the songs and we sit here and go about our day. You know, there's people up here that are ready to pray for you. How many believe God still answers prayer? I believe God still answers prayer. If we really believe God still answers prayer, and God's word teaches us to pray one for another, and we don't allow people to pray for one another, pray for us when we're going through a tough situation in our world, man, shame on us. Let's become the church that God needs us to be. All right, back on topic. You ready? We're going to wind this on down. Where's your heart today? Are you living with a heart of faithfulness unto God? Are you being faithful in every season and every situation that you're in? Are you living with holiness? Are you living the way that God teaches us, the New Testament teaches us to live our lives. Are you living a faithful life unto God? Are you being an angry, bitter, grumbling Christian? Are you being humble? Or has pride risen its ugly head in your life and you start looking down on all those that are around you? Sometimes even there's a Christian arrogance that can come about in our lives, and we look down on all those that haven't arrived at Christianity yet, and we say, we're better than you. Man, that Christian arrogance is ugly and nasty and something we need to guard our hearts against. And are you living with a heart that just worships God passionately? Every day of your life, are you blown away with the goodness of God? I challenge you to flip off whatever stations that you're listening. Put on your Spotify list of just worship unto God and just start worshiping God as you drive down the road. It'll change how you go about your daily life. Instead of listening to all those political things, I don't know about you, but I've had too much overload on all sorts of opinions and politics. Anyone with me? You know what I did this last week? I got rid of all social media off my cell phone. I said, I can't listen to this garbage anymore. I need to take a break. We need to take a break sometimes from all the noise of this world and just worship our King and worship our Lord, because He is a good God. He loves you. He knows exactly where you are today, exactly what you're dealing with, exactly that burden that you're facing and that's troubling you. And He cares about it. And let's trust God in His timing today. Heavenly Father, we love You so much. God, we're so thankful that we can be in Your presence today. And God, I pray right now that You just continue just to move in our hearts and our lives during this time. Lord, thank You for being such a good God. And God, I pray right now, Lord, that You would continue to help us, Lord, to have a heart, Lord, that runs after You. God, a heart that's faithful. Lord, help us to live with faithfulness unto You. God, if there's areas of our lives that we're not living in faithfulness right now, God, I pray that we will repent over those sins right now. God, I pray that we repent over those attitudes that we have that are not godly. And Lord, that You would have Your way in our hearts and in our lives. God, help us to be gracious with each other. And God, I just pray that You would just continue to help us to grow into the men and women in the church that You need us to be right now in our lives. God, I pray right now that we would have humility in our lives. God, guard our hearts against pride, because pride is so easy to grab a hold of. But God, I pray humility over every one of us. God, bring conviction into our lives on areas that we're seeing pride. And God, help us, Lord, just to once again look at how we can serve others and how we can serve You in our everyday lives. And God, if we start living with a heart of a servant's heart, then I believe that You're going to move in a powerful way and help us to overcome some of that pride that we're struggling with in our world. And God, I pray right now, Lord, that we would give You worship in every season, in every trial, in every struggle that we're facing. God, that we would give You glory. God, help us right now, Lord, to live with an attitude, with a heart of worship every day of our lives. God, life might not be going perfect, but we can trust in the One that is, and that is You. And God, we turn our eyes and our attention to You once again, our eyes off of the storms that are around us, and say, God, I trust in You. God, I give You my life. And God, I'm going to run after You with every aspect of my life right now. God, I pray that You would continue to mold us and help us to have the heart that You need us to have in our lives. We love You so much. Thank You for Your presence in this place. In Your name we pray. Amen. I love you guys. I hope you have a great rest of the week. We're here. I'm down here. If you want some prayer for some area of your life, you're welcome to come find me. There's a couple other pastors and leaders that are around this room that would love to pray with you as well. But I love you. I hope you have a great rest of the week. Hope to see you on Wednesday night. Bring your families out. It's going to be a great time together in the house of God every Wednesday night at 7 o'clock. And it'll be a great moment together. I hope you have a great rest of the week and looking forward to seeing you on Wednesday. God bless.